Amen. Hallelujah. Excellent, excellent worship service. Church, it is truly an honor to teach at pastor's pulpit, as all the men and women will tell you. It's something that none of us take for granted, for sure. Excuse me. By any means. But I want to tell you how this message came about before I get into it. And this was another one of these messages, Pastor, that when I was doing it, and I'm sure that the men and women that had prepared their message have had this moment, but this was one of those messages that I literally had to stop as when I was preparing it and literally wipe the tears from my eyes, Senior. You know how when you're doing a message and the Holy Ghost just gets you and says, now stop. Look what you just said. Now I want you to apply that. You know, I'm telling you, I stopped it a few times and just wiped my eyes. And I'm going to do my best not to cry in the middle of this message. But how this message came about, trust me when I tell you, this is nothing near the message that I was getting ready to prepare. And that has happened to you too as well, Dean, I'm sure, that, oh, throw this one right out the window. It is nothing. I am telling you nothing like this message tonight. And I was getting ready to preparing another message. And how many know that it is always best to allow the Holy Ghost to minister? Always have your open ears, your spiritual ears ready, and then do what he tells you to do. In other words, don't get in front of him. And I didn't have that ease. You know what I'm saying? I was preparing the other message, and I didn't have that comfort and that ease. I was pushing through. I was pushing and plowing, you know, but I just didn't feel right. So Monday, I think it was Monday, I had a bus run, and we were talking, and one of the ladies had a family member die, and we were just ministering to each other, and I'm driving along, and they're all going, hallelujah, and we're just talking to each other and trying to lift one another up, and I went back, and I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't the nails, and the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. He said, there's your message. Right there. I got Holy Ghost goosebumps. I said, so that message was out the door. Tonight's title is, It Wasn't the Nails. And when he told me that, Senior, I knew. I thanked him. I said, I want to thank you ladies because we were ministering to each other. And when I said that to her, the Holy Ghost stopped me and said, that's what I want you to teach on. Nothing. My message that I was preparing was nothing like tonight. That's why I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to minister everybody here tonight. Everybody. I really do, because it ministered to me. It's always better not to push, pump, and pull as I was trying to do. Amen. So, Pastor Jack has been driving home for a while now that we are a king's kid. Amen. So, as Pastor says, say that with me. We are a king's kid. Boy, that's good to know. And that makes you feel so good. Amen. So, we are a king's kid. And church, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing, say nothing, that our Heavenly Father would not do for you and I. Amen? Nothing. You're a king's kid. It wasn't the nails, church. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Amen? Church, His love is greater than what we could ever imagine. You agree with that? Greater with anything that we could imagine. Who am I, Lord? Who am I? Ask yourself that. That'll humble you. Who am I, Lord, that you would love me this much? Who am I, Lord? This is one of those places where I stopped me. Think of the awesomeness in that statement. Who am I, Lord, that you would love me this much? If I was the only one, you would have still sent Jesus for me. So I wouldn't have to burn in hell but I would have everlasting life with a king who loves me. That was the first spot that I teared up on. Ask yourself that. Who am I? Who am I? If you please turn to John 15, NLT. We are going to read verse 13. Who am I, Lord, that you would love me this much, that you would send Jesus for me? Who am I? Man, when you think about that statement, that'll set you back in your seat and make you think of the awesome love. Now, I'm talking about, you know your secrets. Not everybody does, but you do, Bob. I know my secrets, but so does God. But yet he still loves me. Yeah, he still loves me. It wasn't the nails, church. It was love that put him on that cross and held him on that cross. It wasn't the nails. John 15, 13, NLT. I have loved you. Here we go. Even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. That's how much Jesus loves us, church. He laid his life. It wasn't the nails. It was his love that held him on the cross. It wasn't the nails. I believe with all my heart this is going to change hearts tonight. I believe with all my heart this is going to sink in tonight. I believe with all my heart that everybody in here tonight is going to walk out of here with a different perspective of the love that God has for each and every one of us in spite of our best efforts. Isn't that right, Charlie Bear? In spite of what we know we have already done, the things we should not have done, the things we have said should not have said, in spite of all our errors, God still loves us. Till your last breath, church, he loves you. Loves you with all of his being. All of it. All of it. This is a comforting message tonight. I pray you sleep well tonight after you hear this message. I pray that you have one of the best night's sleep you've ever had. Knowing that when you're lying there, that your Heavenly Father has angels camped round about you, comforting you through the night. That no harm will come nigh you. Everything that you want will be given to you. No, everything you need. The wants over exceed your needs all the time, and that's what gets you in trouble. But he knows what you need, Doc. He knows, and he's not a selfish God. He's going to give it to you. When the pastor has always said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added unto you. Don't seek out his hand, seek his face. Put him first. But when you put him first, it's inevitable. God can't help himself. He stretches out his hand to give it to you because you, there's that Holy Ghost spit, to give it to you because you put him first. Put him first in everything you do, everything you say. He laid his life down for us, church. Amplified Classic. I'm going to start in verse 12. This is my commandment, same scripture. That you love one another just, in parentheses, as I have loved you. No one has greater love, parentheses, no one has shown stronger affection than to lay down, give up his own life for his friends. Now listen to what he says to each and every one in here. You are my friends. You are my friends. If you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. Church, again, it wasn't the nails that put him on a cross. It was his love that held him there. A love, church, that is so powerful. that the only way to respond to a Heavenly Father that loves each and every one of us in this way is to drop to your knees, as you said tonight, Senior, and simply thank Him. Drop to your knees and simply thank Him and raise your hand. Don't ask for anything. Simply thank Him. And when you do, who am I, Lord, that you would love me this much, that you sent your only Son in my stead? I'm the one that deserved to be on the cross, not your Son. I'm the one. I'm the one that should go to hell, but you made a way for me that I don't have to. You made a way. You made me whiter than snow because I asked Jesus in my heart. You loved me that much. You loved me that much. Who am I, Lord? Who am I? With a love this strong, with a love this strong, why would anybody not have Jesus in their life? Why wouldn't they? Because I think that the world offers a plethora of enjoyments, all of the wrong enjoyments, television, sex, drugs. The world offers you all the sensory perception things that everybody thinks that they want. But then when they get into that muck and mire, sometimes it's too late. Sometimes. You deal in a jail ministry, sir, you know. Sometimes people's hearts are so hard that they just don't want to hear a thing. That's when you can't push, pump, or pull, but allow the Holy Ghost to minister, but with a love that much. Why? Those are probably some of the things why. Other than, there's a lot of churches and a lot of television ministries that are probably teaching wrong teachings. Amen? You know they are. Wrong doctrine. You know they are. You tell me. You tell me why people would not want to have Christ in their life with that kind of love that the Father has for me. It wasn't the nails, Father, that held you on a cross. It was your love. Lord, who am I that you would love me that much? Who am I? When things are getting tough, when things are getting tough, church, think of this amplified classic scripture, Psalm 23:6. Surely, or only, goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place. I was at my oldest brother Pete's house one day, and we were just chatting, talking away. And we were talking about things, and you know, life in general, because life can wear you down. It does. It really does. So as we were walking out, I said, Pete, stop. And he looked at me like I had four ears, you know. I said, look behind you. So he looked. I said, don't you see it? He said, brother, are you okay? I said, look again. He says, what? I said, goodness and mercy. That is a promise for each and every one of us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Not some, but all. And that is an extension of His love. It wasn't the nails that held Him on the cross. It was His love. It wasn't the nails. Psalm 23:6, Living Bible. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life. And afterwards, I will live with you forever in your home. Is that awesome? That should make you shout, church. In your home. In your home. I had texted my eldest brother, Pete, the other day. And I said, brother, it amazes me. I am so glad for God's unfailing love that He has toward each and every one of us, all in here included, everybody that is His children. He texts me back. I'm going to try and get this right. I should have never brought it down, left it to memory. But he said, me too, brother. He said, it is not by merit. His unfailing love is as endless as it is boundless. Is that awesome? So that's how we lift one another up. There was another spot that I had to wipe my eyes. When you allow God's word to, I've noticed something. As I'm getting older, my messages are getting quieter. They are. When you allow God's word to minister to you, and you think about things like that, who am I, Lord? It wasn't the nails. You're going to follow me, goodness and mercy, all the days of my life. When you allow that, and we have to allow it to sink in our hearts, something happens. It's like it roots, and the roots dig, and they hold. And then when the world starts to throw its stuff at you, you start thinking about the love that he has for you. There's nothing. If God be for me, who can be against me? There's nothing that this world can do to you. This world could take your life away. It could murder you. It's not going to. It could. But it doesn't matter, because we serve a King of Kings and a Lord of Glory. And if there's anything that any one of us probably wish to do, is to, when we speak to people about Christ, tell them about the love. Don't tell them they're wrong. Don't argue. Don't bicker. Don't complain. Tell them about the love. Tell them about his love. Let it sink in. Ask yourself, who am I? Share that with people. It wasn't the nails. The greatest theologians, they debate on what Paul's thorn was, the thorn of his flesh. You know, was it physical? Was it his eye? How about every time that he stood up for Christ, what happened to him? Ended up in jail. Got beatings. I mean, that could have been a thorn of his flesh, you know? But see, church, Paul learned. There's a learning process for each and every one of us. Paul had to learn. Paul had to learn. You and I have to learn how to be content. Paul had to learn that. You and I, at times, want to jump and do this and do that and do that and argue and come. None of us will go through what Paul went through. None of us. But he had to learn how to be content. I think if we learn how to be content and allow the love of Christ to sink into our very being, our lives will be a whole lot better. Our lives will be mellowed out. Stress probably, Doc, won't have as much of a role in our life. Pressures won't have as much as a role. We're still going to do what we have to do as a family. You run your family. But those things won't weigh you down as much, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Allow his love to sink into your heart. I found this in the Billy Graham archive, and I want to read this to you. It's a part of the human condition that we often want what we don't have or what we see other people getting. Amen? It's a part of the human condition. Discontentment is a disease, I like how he put that, of the heart. Discontentment is a disease of the heart, running rampant, even among the most faithful believers in Christ. A godly contentment we can learn from the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul had to learn to be content. Bill works as a very difficult, unappreciated job that barely allows him to make ends meet. His brother, on the other hand, has a six-figure salary because he just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Kathy and Jim have been trying to become parents for 8 years, all of their friends having their third and second children. They wonder, when's it going to be their turn? Michelle is rarely satisfied and easily bored. She's always looking for the next best thing, whether it's whether it is houses, cars, clothes, or jobs. She usually feels the need to one-up her friends. You know people like that? See, that's what takes your eyes off of Christ. That's what gives you the pressures. Jason thinks he would be better off married to someone else. Jenny thinks she would be better off married to someone, period. Do you see yourself in any of these people? If you've walked this earth for any length of time, you can identify with one of them, even if it's in your past. Why are we so easily discontented? We could assume people in the above scenarios are too busy focusing on their circumstances and not on God. Now, here are some ways. I only went with one. You can put focus where it belongs. I only did one because there was like three or four of them, maybe five, but they were just too long to write them all down. But this is one of my favorites. The one way we can be content is choose an attitude of humility. Take a look at this piece of Paul's letter to the Philippians. It would be Philippians 4, 11 through 11 and 12. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned, Paul has learned, to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to be along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstances, I have learned the secrets of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Philippians 4, 11 through 12. Paul wrote this letter from a Roman prison. Wrote it from a Roman prison. Having been incarcerated for sharing his faith by our standards here in the United States, this is very unfair. And a very unfair predicament. Yet, Paul did not feel he was short of anything. Paul learned to be content in all circumstances. He was humbled to accept the circumstances he had been given because he was humbled by the grace he had been given by God when he became a follower of Christ. He knew at that point that he possessed the most important thing he could ever obtain. Assurance of salvation at a right relationship with our Lord. He learned that. Assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a Savior. I forget the rest. My glory divine. Yep. Paul learned to be content in all circumstances. Now, let me ask you a question, church. And everybody knows this. Have we not, each and every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, have we not, in one way or another, gone astray? Have you not? At one time or another, whether it was recent, in your past, we've all gone astray. We have. We have. So we are going to read the parable of the lost son. Luke 15, 11 through 32, NLT. Now, the father, of course, is a type of Jesus, and you know what he did when his son was gone. But I believe that each and every one of us here can relate to the son. Because at times, when we were growing up, we wanted our own way, did we not? Didn't want to listen to the Father. Didn't want to listen to what was best for us. So we can relate to the Son. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now before you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, 13, this younger son packed all of the belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living, gone astray. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land. He began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. Now the humility's coming in, church. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a servant, hired servant. I apologize. So he turned home to his father. And while he was still a type of Jesus, when our Heavenly Father's children, which is each and every one of us, when they go astray, does God wash his hands with them? He's always wanting them back, isn't he? With open arms, that's the love that I'm talking about. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. This kind of love doesn't quit. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't wear out. This love does not wear out. It's always waiting to give, to give. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son. Church, he got his son. He didn't embarrass him. He didn't shun him. He didn't crack him over the head. He embraced him. Jesus would embrace you if you have gone astray. Kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father said to the servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring and put it on his finger. He brought him back up the status, church. Brought him back up to the household status. And sandals for his feet. And kill the calf for that's been fattening. We must celebrate a feast. For this son of mine that was dead has now returned life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Thank you, Jesus. Every one of us has gone astray. See, that kind of love doesn't wear out. That kind of love is always waiting to give. Always waiting to give more. Always waiting for each and every one of us. I almost said you, but I want some of it. So. Meanwhile, naturally, the older son, you could understand, in the fields working when he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants what was going on. Your brother is back. And he was told, your father has killed the fatted calf. They were celebrating because of his safe return. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, all these years I slaved for you. See, wrong attitude. All these years I've slaved for you. Never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when the son of yours comes back after squandering your money and prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by my side, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost. But now he is found. See, that is the love that is always giving, church. That is the kind of love that when you say, who am I, Lord, that you would love me that much? Think of that. Who am I, Lord, that you would love me that much? Think of him sending his son for each and every one of us. Loves us beyond measure. Beyond measure. Again, the father was a type of Jesus. His son was lost. The son, I believe, that we all at one time could relate to because we have gone astray in the past. I have. I can relate. This is what Jesus does for each and every one of us with his great love, church. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he's always wanting to give that love, even when we think we know better? Yes, even when we think we know better. What's nice about this parable is one of hope and restoration. Think about that. It's what Christ does for each and every one of us. We have hope and restoration even when we go astray while we're a Christian because of his great love. We have an advocate that we could go to the Father and say, Father, I blew it. Please forgive me. He is not going to shun you. He's going to put that robe on you and say, welcome home. Welcome. That's the kind of love that our Heavenly Father has for us. If you can't fathom the love, or wasn't the nails holding him on the cross, it was a love, think of that. This parable is one of hope and restoration. And brother, is my phone there? No? Oh, never mind. I'm sorry, Dean. It never stops to amaze me. We're winding down, church. It never stops to amaze me that God is never early. He is never late, but he is always on time. Amen? I'm going to end with this. And you know that this just happened to pop up, and I got permission to use it. It just happened to pop up at the most perfect time. Obedience is better than sacrifice, church. It's all he wants from us. He doesn't want you perfect. We're not going to be perfect. There is only one perfect. But obedience is better than sacrifice. My brother, thank you for being so obedient, because this was a timely sent message. It goes right in with this message tonight. It says, his love, this is by Sarah Young from Jesus' Calling. And I'm going to read this to you. The Lord has appeared to, of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. That's Jeremiah 31:3, New King James. Then she writes, I love you. Listen. Wasn't the nails. I love you regardless of how well you are performing. Sometimes you feel uneasy, wondering if you are doing enough to be worthy of my love. No matter how exemplary your behavior, the answer to that question will always be no. I love that. Will always be no. Your performance and my love are totally different issues which you need to sort out. I love you with an everlasting love that flows out from eternity without limits or conditions. I have clothed... Now remember the parable son. He put a robe on his son. I have clothed you in my robe of righteousness. It fit with this message, my brother. I have clothed you with my robe of righteousness, and this is an eternal transaction. Nothing and no one can reverse it. Therefore, your accomplishments as a Christian have no bearing on my love for you. Even your ability to assess how well you are doing on a given day is flawed. Your limited human perspective and the condition of your body with its mercurial variations distort your evaluations. Now, there's a little bit more. Whenever there's a word that's bigger than 10 cents, I'm not that smart. I had to look it up. So mercurial, I'm going to read that and then I'm going to tell you what it means for those of you who don't know. Your limited human perspectives and the conditions of your body with its mercurial 75-cent word variations distort your evaluations. Mercurial of a person means of a sudden and unpredictable change in mood and mind. Sudden and unpredictable change of mood and mind. See, church, in other words, we can all be fickle. We can be, if we don't concentrate on his love. It was never a head issue with God, ever. It's always been a heart issue. He knows your heart, church. He knows everything else about us, too. And then it says, to bring your performance anxiety to me. How many have been there? I got to do better. I got to do better. Bring your performance anxiety to me and receive it. Receive in its place my unfailing love again. Try to stay conscious of my loving presence with you in all that you do, and I will direct your steps. Amen? Concentrate on his love, church. It was never the nails. It was his love that held him on the cross. His love is never ending. To our very last breath, he was always wants to give it and give more. Aren't you glad? Church, I have delivered what God has given me. I hope you have been blessed this evening, because this message blessed me when I did it. I'm going to close. If there's anybody that needs prayer, I, Brother Dean, and Senior Elder Bob is here. We will be glad to pray with you, okay? Father, we want to thank you.